Welcome to the Gnosis Scene Podcast. I'm Matt Crane.
I'm Tyler Sharp.
And every week we chronicle the biggest news in the music scene. Find more episodes of this show on Apple Podcasts, where you should please rate and review us. Email us at gnosisscene@gmail.com. Big news this week from Panic at the Disco. But first, we're going to talk about the winners and losers from day one of the Final Fans Warped Tour. Let's go. Back from vacation. How's it feel, Tyler?
Dude, it's summer, man.
Dude, you know, I think next time we should probably tell the listeners first on vacation.
It was a bit of an extended one. We needed it.
Yeah, you know, Tyler and I, we got to go hide out in the islands every now and then, you know, down in the Caribbean.
Right.
We make enemies, so we got to just disappear sometimes.
Got to go off the grid every once in a while. Yeah, we'll let you know next time.
Did you see the Foo Fighters play on Late Night with Corden?
I didn't, but I saw a lot of headlines about it. How was it?
I just, you know, they played The Best of You, which win, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, or The Best of Me. What I forgot. No, that's a starting line song. The Best of You.
Dude, you can tell what podcast we're on.
Yeah. Excuse myself. Anyways, I just, seeing Dave Grohl just kill it, and, you know, the dude's pushing 50, it really pissed me off, because all these fucking scene bands that go up there and just blow it, you know, and just give these, like, Fall Out Boy to Paris to who, you know what I mean? Every time we're like, we talk about these late night stories and we're like,
right.
Oh, how'd this band do on Kimmel? How'd this band do on, you know, Colbert? And every time we're like, eh, you know, we're like, kind of boring.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no excuse. Like, you know, these bands, like Neck Deep, you should fucking go up there and just slaughter it. Like,
right.
Paris, you should be up there slaughtering. If Dave Grohl's pushing 50 and he can go up there and just kill it every time, it just blows my mind that, you know, so many bands from this scene have, like, I don't want to say wasted, but didn't take full advantage of the opportunity to be on TV in front of 3 million, you know,
absolutely
active watchers.
Not. Dude, is Dave Grohl aging? I don't think he's aging.
Yeah, no, man. I mean, he's definitely got the Botox going on.
You can, sure.
His face is like, it looks nice, but a little puffy,
for sure.
From all those Botox.
Sure.
He looks young.
Mm-hmm.
Good hair dye, you know?
Totally. Yeah, no gray
in
there.
He's in shape. He's a monster on, you know, he's always drumming. He never stops, you
mm-hmm.
know? That's got to
mm-hmm.
be a good workout.
Shouts to Dave, man.
Yeah. So interesting this week. Okay, so 2 weeks ago, 30 Seconds to Mars, shouts to the boys, got the number one single at alt radio, Dangerous Night, which has been, I mean, was that a year ago we first... That song
feels like a different lifetime when that thing came out.
I had my little like love meltdown over it and how much I loved it. But
I was definitely, I think I was like a 7.5 out of a close 8.
So you were on board.
Yeah.
And you were like at micro. And
dude, it went.
Yeah, so it got to number one. That's really cool. And then this week, Panic at the Disco fucking knocked them out of the number one slot. And now Panic, what is that song called?
Say Amen.
Say Amen. Knocked them out for number one. And that's crazy. We just had two scene bands, you know, take the number one spots at alternative rock radio.
And I mean, for Panic, it was prime time because, like, he had number one when the album
mm-hmm.
dropped. Album release week, number one on alt radio.
Right.
You can't plan that shit, man. Like,
no,
you can't plan it any better.
Can't. It's almost a little suspect, but you
I don't know,
you
man.
Really
we watched that song climb, like, from the bottom. From the bottom.
Did.
It did the legwork.
I gotta say, I hear a lot more 30 Seconds to Mars on the radio than I do Panic.
Okay.
I don't, you know, like, they're still playing Walk on Water a lot. Like,
I mean,
30 Seconds
dude,
are just in rotation.
Man. Just
yeah.
always out there. And now
yeah.
they're a duo. I mean, we got to start calling them the Cred Chainsmokers, man.
But, you know, it's like we only get so much goddamn, you know, success for our scene bands. Panic and 30, like, can
dude.
You guys space this one out? You know, did you need to knock each other off the charts?
No, man, it's all or nothing here. We got to take what we can get.
Quick little shout out to Vinnie Paul of Pantera and Hell Yeah, who died.
Absolutely.
Just want to say rest in peace. And
rest in peace, man.
Send our condolences to his family, friends, bandmates, and fans.
Total legend.
Total fixture in that, you know, rock metal scene for
mm-hmm.
sure. I'm sorry, we're going to skip over listener questions this week because we have so much to talk about with Warped Tour. But we promise, so we got all your questions queued up. We're going to get to all of them this year. So feel free, keep sending them in to scene@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. But Tyler Sharp, it's time for the big show, man.
Dude, Warped Tour, man. This is the last time we get to do this.
It's fucking Warped Tour. Are you ready?
Dude, hell yeah. It's summer. Right. It's Warped Tour, man.
The Vans Warped Tour kicked off day one in Pomona, California. This is the last first day of Warped Tour, as everyone's been calling it, the last first day. So they brought back the live stream. Good move, right?
Shouts.
Seriously.
And looks like they put some money into it. Dude, like, it was really good. Well put together. The sound sounded great. They had so many different camera angles. They really went all out this year.
No, it looked really good. And that was one of the surprising things to me. It felt like kind of the glory days watching this live stream.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Like, it looked like it mattered. It looked really important. And, you know, Pomona Warped, like, seeing it on this live stream, it almost looked like Warped could be a thing again.
Dude.
Like, this thing could keep going. Like, you almost got that kind of vibe. It looked so nice.
I know. So I was going to do my overall comments after, but, I mean, the Ventura, I don't have numbers for the Pomona date because it didn't sell out in advance. I'm not sure if it sold out day of, but the Ventura date sold out, 17,000 tickets. Mountain View, I have old numbers from past years that says Mountain View is a 2,300 cap. I don't know what the cap was this year, but that sold out as well.
Like, that's gotta be way
people are going, dude. People are going, man.
Oh yeah, no, I was that was my next question. I was gonna ask you because I knew you had some info if it had sold out or not, because it certainly looked like it sold out. I mean,
dude, the crowd, dude, people were there, man.
Dude, this is the first time in a long time it looked like a real main stage show. When you looked at the main stage, you're like, that's a fucking main stage crowd from like, you know, 08 or earlier. Like,
absolutely,
we're getting back into glory days territory. So it's nice to see. I know it is Pomona, so that's always a big date for them, but still, it looked really good. And, you know, coming off 2017, which was such a shit show. Ooh. I mean, easily, that's got to go down as the worst Warped Tour ever, right?
I mean, that has to be the lowest one since, it was a tour.
It was half empty. No, the band, the lineup was terrible. Dude. I mean, all the throwback punk bands, it was just...
I'll never forget. And I love that Jules Verre record. I'm a big fan, but I'll never forget walking in front of their stage while they were playing on a main stage, and there were only one line of kids all up against the barrier, and that was it. There was maybe like 15 people watching the main stage. I'll never get that image out of my head.
Oh my God, terrible. Like, just that garbage. Like, you know, just that garbage of bands like them getting put on the main stage. And you contrast that with this year where you see a main stage and it looks like... It
looks so healthy.
It looks like MCR05. You know what I mean? Like, holy shit. Did you see the big, bright red Roadrunner Records tent by the main stage?
Oh, is that what that was? I kept getting glimpse of a big red tent, but I didn't know if that was like
I just thought it was funny because, like, you know, big radio rock label. And they're there kind of like... Hey man, this thing's over. Come over here. We got some radio rock stuff for you.
Right,
kids want to come. We got the fever. You know,
did they have anyone on the tour?
I don't know. I just know that they were there. I swear to God, I think they were just there to like steal.
Holy shit, that's so funny. That's hilarious. Okay.
So, you know, we all watch the live stream, which is really fun. So we're gonna go through the main stage lineup, everyone who played the live stream, and pick our winners and losers for the day, and kind of talk about each little performance. Sound good?
Cool. Sounds good, man. Let's roll.
All right, we'll go in order. So Issues kicked off the day. This is the main stage. You know, I thought they had a good early crowd.
Right.
Yeah, like it was packed. People were jumping. Opening with Hooligans. Not a bad way to kick off Warped Tour.
Never, man. Never. That song's such a summer jam. I remember they dropped that as a Lucy, like it was never on an Issues album. Just like it was the perfect song to skate to in high school. But dude, Tyler rocking the crop top, man. I love it.
You love it?
Dude, he was killing it up there, man.
I don't know, man. The outfit is, you know, overall I thought this was a good Issues performance, but the outfit was kind of ruining it for me a little bit.
Dude, come on. He was
the
getting
crop. When did the crop top become the thing? Like, am I just old now?
Let's just do it, man. I just love how he's doing it. I don't think it is a thing. He's just doing it.
I didn't think he looked particularly in shape enough to be wearing it.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean? I mean, not to be too mean, but, I mean, come on.
I mean, I don't know. He looked like he was digging it.
I mean, he was digging it, but, you know, I don't know. Was everybody else digging it?
Come on, man. So, on. Was this issue's first show without Michael Bone?
I want to say yes. And interestingly, so AJ's doing all their screams now.
Mm-hmm.
And he sounds pretty dead on.
I feel like he nailed it.
Yeah, he definitely nailed it. But also, if you paid attention, they have Michael Bone backing screams as well.
The backtracks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was just about to bring that up.
You don't usually see backtrack screaming. I mean, you do sometimes, but it was just weird. Like, you already have AJ. He's doing such a good job. Why have Michael Bone backing tracks going off? You know, for screams.
He just wasn't confident enough to be able to hold the whole set. I don't know.
He was doing a damn good job, man. I mean, I guess, you know, I mean, doing like, that much screaming and, you know, guitar bass playing, work or whatever he plays.
When you're not used to it.
Yeah.
For sure.
But he was on point.
I mean, like, Michael was a one-tone guy. He had one level of scream that was kind of a one-dimensional vocalist. But, I mean, AJ took that and he ran with it. So, and I was never the biggest fan of Michael's screams, and I feel like AJ's almost have like a 2000s post-hardcore kind of edge to him.
A little bit more of that screamo pop.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure. But,
so I dig that.
Yeah, but, you know, I thought Michael fit. I know he wasn't the most, you know, he's kind of one-dimensional, like you say, but I just thought he was a good fit for Issues. It was a good contrast with Tyler's voice, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, they were a great duo.
Seeing this set reminded me a lot of how much I loved those self-titled songs. How
Dude,
great that. That
what
is
a time,
self-titled
man.
Record.
Oh. Yeah,
that, I mean, you know, the scene started going downhill, what, like 2016, like 2015 real hard. But before that, we got that Issues record. That was one of like the last really good things.
Turntable like post-hardcore, man. And it sold, what did it say? It sold like 18,000 first
week,
right?
It was almost 20. It was around 20.
It was for a debut album. That's fucking ridiculous, man.
Yeah,
like, that band was about to be a thing. And then, you know, we know what happened after that. But,
right. But dude, so they played no Stingray Affliction. They didn't play that. I was a little disappointed.
Right. But they did play an old school medley, man. We got King of Amarillo. When was the last time they played that?
Yeah, man. I know.
Fucking minute ago. And
people were shouting it in the crowd too. They wanted to.
The pit opened up so much as soon as they jumped into that. That's what everyone's waiting for. And they also played The Worst of Them, which was my favorite Issue song for a really long time. It was off the very first EP. I thought it was a perfect post-hardcore song.
Okay. So they closed with So Mad at Myself, which I've always loved that song, but weird closer, I think, for them. You know, the all clean vocal thing. Is that really like one of their biggest hits?
I feel like it's kind of that song. So did they release a music video for that song? I can't remember.
Yes,
if
they did.
Okay, they did. So
the one where Tyler's like sitting in a chair.
Right. Okay. The band never Issues did push that out as a single, but it's never felt like a single to me, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think it's a strong fan favorite, and it really, that song encapsulates the self-titled era very well.
Yeah, it was one of my favorites off the record, and, you know, it was like that, their pop moment, kind of. You know, it showed kind of Issues could be something else, but I don't know that that's your closer. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean,
I don't know.
Yeah, I feel, I totally see where you're coming
your
from, but I do get why they did it. Yeah, it was just cool to see them play old shit, man. Like,
okay.
And I'm surprised they didn't play a new song. That's one thing I was surprised for, because that record,
that'd be good.
That record's been, she's been bubbling for a while.
Right. Okay, so Issues. I'm going to say winner.
I totally agree,
man. I'm going to
win. Came out swinging. They kicked the day off well.
All right, two wins to Issues. All right, next band that played, Movements. I don't give a shit. Do you give a shit? I'm ready to skip this one.
Oh, no. How much of the set did you actually watch?
I watched a lot of it, and I was bored to death.
Dude, it is so crazy to see Warped Tour in a position to put this band this small on the main stage. Like, this album, their newest album, sold 3,900 first week. And did you see their fucking crowd, man? Like, that thing was pretty decent size. And when I love
how many of those kids, though, were waiting for the next band?
Right. And I love how when a ton of bands on that first day asked the crowd who's seeing us for the first time, and it was usually always bigger than the people who'd seen them before.
Yeah.
Like, it's, these people are there because it's the final Warped Tour, not right. necessarily because they're seeing their favorite band.
Right. So, yeah, so I didn't get much out of this set.
Yeah, I mean, Movements is just, it's not for me, and I don't think it's for the masses either.
I don't think Movements are for anyone, to be honest.
I mean, they got fans, man. Like, they got fans. I feel like Movements are the new Citizen.
They have some fans. Like, the new Citizen, all right, so they're going to have like a three-year career and then just fade out?
Basically, like they are Citizen in 2013 right now.
You know, the cameraman just kept zooming in on some girl who looked like Lorde with a nose ring during their set. And I was just like, stop
it. No.
I was just like, dude, just quit it.
No. All right. Where are you at?
I'm going to say loser.
I'm going to say winner, man. I was super surprised by this.
Okay. All right. So one win and one loss for them. Let's move on to Knucklepuck. Knucklepuck takes the stage next. I gotta say, you know, we've ripped this band to fucking shreds over the course of our podcast. But they bring a good old fashioned pop punk energy to Warped Tour. I like the energy they bring. They just don't have that many good songs to play, so it can kind of feel like empty calories. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you with the energy, but I mean, they're a pop punk band who thinks they're a hardcore band. It's just kind of that new wave of pop punk that isn't really new anymore, but those wave of bands, they all loved hardcore. And like, these dudes were even in, some of their members were in a hardcore band in Chicago called Short Fuse, while Knucklepuck was also taken off. So like, you could hear the screams that they were incorporating into songs that don't have screams throughout this set. And yeah, I mean, it felt a little sloppy, but almost in a good way.
Yeah.
I don't, like, you were right. They had a lot of energy behind this set, and that catapulted the songs.
Good energy. And, like, shouts to all the girls crowd surfing during KP's set. You know, we saw you. We saw you.
Out there.
I was like, okay. Like, dude, they're just, like, one of those bands where girls just, all the girls were crowd surfing. And I was like, that's cool. And, like, they had magic a couple times. You know, like, there was this one moment. It was, like, really sunny. Right. Mm-hmm. And there was like this blonde girl and this Asian girl just crowd surfing like madmen. And they were playing Want Me Around. And the chorus was actually going off pretty good live. And you see the skate ramps in the background.
Dude.
And like, it kind of looked like a music video. Like, it kind of was like very picturesque, you know, and they were sounding good. And I was like, okay, Knucklepuck, you know, and it got me thinking, you know, like, this is without that, you know, shitty fuzzy mix. Like some of the new songs have on that record. Without that garbage production, like some of these songs sound okay live and translate well live. And they might just be one of those bands. They're just better live. And they just had some moments like that during their set where I felt that Warped Tour magic.
Dude, crowd was solid. Energy was there. Like, it felt, I enjoyed watching this set, even though I still think this band is about like a 6 out of 10 at music. But, like, they brought it for Warped Tour.
They did. So I'm going to say win for Knucklepuck.
Same.
Call them a winner. All right. Two wins for Knucklepuck. So next up, we have 4 Years Strong. You know, here come these fucking guys. Warped Tour! They start their set. And they're like, I think the quote is, let's get this thing fucking started. And I'm like, oh, my God, you guys. You know, and they bust into some pop punk song. And it doesn't, like, live up to the metal yell, you know?
Oh, totally. The first note I have about 4 Years Strong is just beards.
The beards come out. But what I love is the crowd just instantly switched into easycore mode and started moshing.
Dude,
like,
easycore revival is here, man. Holy shit.
Dude, people showed out.
Absolutely, man.
They still matter, I think. Like, there were a lot of kids in that crowd just sort of losing it. And, dude, they were just wailing on their guitars.
Right,
like,
dude.
I was just
shredding,
like,
them off.
I was like, I could just see myself in that crowd, like, waiting for my favorite band to come on. Just like, God damn it. Like, come on, guys. Like, you know.
Come on, man. I was a big 4 Years Strong fan.
No, I mean, I like them too. But
dude,
I was just like,
to
man.
To me, this is probably the most energetic main stage set of the day at this point, as far as, like, fan interaction goes. As soon as they kicked into that first note, you just saw, like, bodies popping up. Like, they were posse jumping and shit. And like,
I know, man.
It's funny to see 4 Years Strong now, because this band was supposed to be so big. Like, this band, people thought this band was going to be, like, fucking massive. But,
right.
Again, like, I have in my notes for this set, the pits going, You see the half pipe in the background. Right. This is Warped Tour, man.
Oh, like, yeah, dude.
This is Warped Tour.
And dude, I totally agree with your point. Everybody thought this band was gonna be massive, and this is kind of seeing them in that environment where we thought they'd end
right.
up. Like, they should be like in a day to remember. You
right.
know what I mean?
Exactly.
But they never got that level. But yeah, you see the skate ramp just going wild in the background as this band's just delivering this fucking awesome set. And I just gotta say, like, this is it. I hope you people realize, like, it's fucking over. You know what I mean?
Get
it's
out done. To Warped like, Tour this summer.
The culture, bands, mm-hmm. skating, punk, you know, somebody said you could see 60 bands in a day if you run fast enough. Like,
absolutely.
This fucking magic that we had, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
It's done. You're never getting this again. And I'm pissed about it. Like, I don't know who I pissed at, but watching this live stream, I just kept getting madder and madder and madder. Like, we're never going to have this
over.
Again.
I know.
We're never going to have this again. This is it. I mean...
I'm glad that people are showing out. I'm
yeah.
so... It makes me so happy that I'm mad, too. That,
but it makes me angrier.
That our youth is over after this summer. But, like, go...
Just,
if you're not planning on going to Warped Tour this summer, go. Even if you don't, you know, have a number one band to see. Because, like, this summer, with all these people that are showing out, that it seems like, to every single date, this is how Warped Tour was supposed to be for forever.
Yes. And it makes me mad. You know, I almost, like, I almost come to the opposite of you, where I would rather if it had just been, like, last year, because then I could be like, all right, this thing should end.
Man.
You know, I could be like, this thing should end. And I could just happily say bye to it and remember the good times.
Now you can't.
Seeing it this good, I'm like, I'm like, you fuckers, you let this go.
Yeah,
you know? Like,
I mean,
we had something magical. And we're never going to have it again. But they didn't play Tonight We Feel Alive. You know, their only real radio hit. Which
I know.
I was a little bummed by. That was their only radio hit. But,
yeah.
you know, since they signed to Pure Noise and came back with that sort of easy core revival
mm-hmm.
mindset, they've kind of been looking away from all their major label stuff, haven't they?
Totally. Absolutely. Especially that third album. And I actually
yes.
liked that record, man.
Dude, I was all for it.
I was about it, dude. Like, let's make this band a radio band.
Dude, yeah, ADTR were popping off at radio with Have Faith in Me. And
all
then
I
think I want, and then all of a sudden Tonight We Feel Alive is right there next to it, and I'm like, let's do this,
dude. Let's just
roll, dude. Fire it up.
Uh-huh.
And I don't care that Easy Core kids are mad. Let's do it.
Let's sell it out, man. Let's just fucking sell it out. But yeah, I'm a yes again for 4 years.
Oh,
you
are,
dude.
Giving them a win.
Absolutely,
all
man.
Right.
Like,
I am,
this
dude,
felt this felt like the most Warped Tour moment of the day thus far.
I am also giving them a win.
Hell yeah.
Good set for your strong.
Hell
all
yeah.
right, let's move into the next band. Mayday Parade, take the stage. You know, I gotta say too, for this live stream, the transitions from band to band were really smooth.
Pretty seamless,
like,
man.
Yeah, like, I wasn't waiting long. You know, aside, we'll get to something later where
mm-hmm.
there was a rough patch, but it
mm-hmm.
was, I was impressed. You know, band to band. Very good transition. So here's Mayday, you know, a real main stage band taking the stage here. Jamie All Over as your second song. Is that the right move?
No, not at all.
Is that your biggest song as your second song? Is that the right move? And I got to say, it didn't go off like I thought it was.
The crowd was so massive, but I was expecting a lot more hype for that.
The crowd was big, but it was... They were pretty subdued.
Right.
And when Jamie All Over pops off, you think the crowd's going to explode, but they didn't. And I'm like, God, dude, are Mayday over?
I mean, that's what we're getting to at this point with this band. But, like, you know, I mean, I haven't seen this band since Jason was in the band. So a good, like, 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, wow, like, Jason's replacement sounds rough on these Lesson
yeah.
in Romantic songs. Like... Wow, he was kind of putting different inflections on different notes in the songs, and like his voice just isn't gritty enough. And yeah, when they played Jamie, and then when they closed with Jersey, I was just like, this is not peak Mayday. You know, like, they're playing their peak Mayday, but this is not peak Mayday.
Yeah.
So I think that had something to do with it. But I will say, like, dude, Derek looks genuinely happy. Man,
oh,
like,
yeah.
he's smiling the whole fucking set. And I mean, I would be too, and anyone should be
right.
in his position to make a career out of what he's made a career off of, like writing the same album for like four albums in a row. But
dude
shouts to him,
too.
Man.
Yeah, oh yeah, totally. I gotta say too, dude, I fucking love that hipster pop Pieces of Your Heart song. Like,
oh,
I know you hate it,
God.
And I know Mayday fans probably
Get
don't even like it,
out of here.
but I love that song now. It's grown on me, and just watching them play it at Warped Tour, you can just see the band they want to be. Like, you can see the band they want to be so bad, but the crowd just isn't having it,
just
and they're
no.
just standing there.
Just
but
no.
You, just shouts to them for trying. Like, you can really see what they want to be, and I actually do like that song. I had to say, during this set, Derek sounded really good vocally.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like Derek.
Dude, his voice is just being a scene kid teenager during the summer. Like, his voice really takes me back. I mean, I was just kind of captivated by it during this performance. I mean, just vocally, he really, you know, he gets a little bit of credit for this scene thing, I think. His voice is, you know, it's one of those iconic voices.
It really is. I mean, like, when I think of Mayday Parade, the first thing I think of is I Had a Dream Last Night. We drove out to see Las Vegas, and, like, that's Derek's voice, you know? It comes out, it's like this higher-end type of, like, angsty kind of optimistic,
right.
I mean, but it's
hopeful.
Really fluid. Yeah, it's
hopeful.
Yeah, totally.
It's not whiny.
No, not at all, and it's not nasally either, you know, for a pop punk band.
What else? It's just teenage summer, right?
That's
I mean, teenage summer in a bottle, just a flash flood of nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
How many fucking summer nights does that voice just bring back for you? You know what I mean?
Everything, everything for like 4 years, all of them.
We're talking June, July, August.
You.
So again, I just got to say, this is it. You're never going to feel like this again.
Mm-hmm.
Your childhood is gone.
Go
like,
to Warped Tour. Yes.
All these nostalgic moments, it's gone, man. Bands like this, the summers you had to Derek's voice, they're gone. This scene is dying, and Warped Tour is going to be a major loss for the scene. And it's over. I mean, you're never going to get this again, and I'm still pissed about it.
At least we were part of the legend, man.
Yeah, I mean, at least we got to, like, live it, but, you know, and participate in it. In an important way, I feel that we did, but, you know.
I know, dude. I'm sad that, like, you know, if I ever have kids, like, they're not going to be able to experience what I did.
They're not going to know what it was like to have those
summers
with Mayday Parade jamming in the background. And Warped Tour going away is, you know, Mayday are now going to be a Pieces of Your Heart kind of band. You know, they're going to try to, like, do some soft Imagine Dragons hipster fun stuff. And it's just, you know, it's
sad,
going.
Man. It's sad.
Big shouts. They covered Blink-182 Rock Show.
Right, right.
Because, you know, Blink didn't show up, so my guys in Mayday got you. you know what I mean?
Two different eras, man. Two different eras. You got the Neon Band. The Neon Bands were all inspired by Blink-182 in some
absolutely.
Way, so it makes sense.
Absolutely. And all bands, most scene bands
totally.
Were inspired.
Absolutely.
Dude, like, a lot of, like, the emo look, you know, the long black hair,
dude,
and the
self-titled
thing.
Tom.
Everyone, a lot of people don't know that, like, those emo singers just wanted to look like Tom DeLonge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that a lot of them, they just were trying to look like Tom DeLonge, so they grew their hair long, dyed it black, and got a lip ring.
Yep, that's fucking it. Dude,
like,
the feel in this video, that was it.
Right, absolutely. They had some disabled people backstage in their VIP section with them, and just gotta give shouts for that. That seems like a trend today. I saw a few bands doing that, so that's good.
Hell yeah.
Closing with Jersey. Is that a good move?
I mean, it's a classic. It's not their ultimate, because that's Jamie, you know? And then Miserable at Best is up there too, but, like, you're never
right.
gonna close with that. But, like, I mean, this is the second option, basically, off of that first record as far as classics go for Mayday. But I would have switched it. I would have played Jamie second, or Jersey second, and Jamie last.
And that just makes so much more sense. But
yeah.
All right, I'm giving Mayday a soft L here. Just
a soft L. Okay.
I'm giving them an L because of the crowd, and it wasn't going off. How about you?
Dude, oh my gosh. I don't want to give everyone W's, but, like,
you're giving Mayday a W?
This set made me happy. Like,
yeah.
just it took me back, man.
It took me back, but I realized I was having my happiness from going back. When I looked at their actual performance, the crowd was just kind of like, "All right, let's get this."
Very true. I'm gonna give them a W, man. I'm feeling overly generous this week. All back, you know. War Tour is ending. I'm feeling good, man. I'm feeling.
Tyler's been beaten down week after week on the show by all of his favorite bands, letting him down and crushing his spirits to the point where he's become a bitter man full of resentment. And here he is, just throwing out the W's. He's giving the wins away. I like this.
I'm just trying to be happy, man. This is the last summer.
This is the last summer. This is it. And sorry if I keep bringing that up, but this is fucking it, man.
Yep.
Okay. So the next band to take the stage is Real Friends. All right. Like, you know, I'm like sitting there, I'm like, here comes these fucking guys, you know? And I gotta say, man, dude, the crowd did not seem that into it. And the crowd kind of thinned out.
I mean, if you look at the very beginning of their set, everyone does push forward a lot. So, like, the back end of the crowd seemed emptier than other sets because everyone pushed forward, but there were people that were not there as opposed to other sets.
It just thinned out. You got a nice shot of the giant red epitaph tent with the gothic lettering. You know, there's something you're never going to see again. That's just something I've been seeing since 05. Mm-hmm. You know, that giant epitaph tent.
Just a constant.
When that record label was a powerhouse, and, you know, y'all let that go.
It just keeps going back. You people ruin this for me.
Like, listeners, I'm not yelling at you. I'm mad at the whole scene for letting the dream die, I guess.
Matt's so just angry like he was when he was 16.
Yeah. So Late Nights in My Car, like, went off well-ish, but, like, it kind of felt like a tribute to 2012. Mm-hmm. Like, it's 2018 now.
Right. Dude, what's up with that backup singer behind the back line? Did you see that?
I didn't.
Okay, so they have this guy who, I think he was in a white t-shirt. He's behind the back line, and he's got a microphone stand and a mic, and he's singing the lines that Dan isn't.
Hmm.
I was very, very confused by that. But, you know, regardless of what I have to say, and I'm sure what you have to say about this band and this set, I want to say that, like, I hope Dan is doing okay and getting the help he needs, because that dude has been through some shit over the last few years, and, like, he was not in a good place last time I saw him. So it was cool to see him at least, you know, have a smile on his face and get out there and play the set for what it was.
Yeah, it must be a tough life he leads.
Ugh, come on, man.
Sorry, I can't help it. They sounded really shitty.
Both it was rough,
instrumentally,
man.
Loose Ends sounded terrible.
It didn't sound like Loose Ends.
That's just a Wonder Years song. Like, you just play it straight through. Like, it sounded awful. Like, are they done? Like,
oh yeah. They're done.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm thinking, like, say, though, fucking 5K for the next album.
Giving them the props where props are due. A lot of girl crowd surfers for them, too, as well as Knuckle Puck. I don't know if it was just the same girls, but there were tons of girl crowd surfing. That's a sign of success. Like, that's a metric. The more girl crowd surfers you have, the better you are doing as a band. So, got to point that out. But, man, the crowd just really thinned out for them. You know,
the energy level was severely lacking here.
I wonder who was playing on the other stage
Makes you wonder.
Yeah, and I'm gonna bet you it was Motionless on the Mutant stage. That's my best guess.
Dude, how the hell is Motionless not on Maine?
I know, but I bet you that they sucked a bunch of kids away from Maine.
Wow.
It would make sense, wouldn't it? Kinda like, that was my best guess I could come up with, why there was just so much space.
It seems like the only thing that kind of makes sense, other than the fact that, like, Real Friends have just lost their hype.
Yeah, last year it was a train wreck. I mean, I'm just gonna say it. You know, the band, they took an L here. I'm giving them a loss.
Yeah,
you're with
same
me.
Same here. Yeah,
loser.
Definitely.
All right. So next band is State Champs, and the crowd immediately bulks up for them from Real Friends. I noticed a lot of lyrics being shouted back at them from the crowd, which is a good sign. Mm-hmm. You know, this is like the first time I think today we're really hearing that. Like, the lyrics, you know, the whole crowd just audibly knowing all the lyrics.
Dude, shouts to their bassist. Looks like he's in Motley Crue. I don't know where that guy came from or if he's like a new member, but I think he just got his hair like redone and dyed and curled, and like, dude looks like he walked straight out of the 80s. So shouts to him. Lots of people seeing them for the first time. I was very surprised by it. Derek's voice, it's kind of like the Mayday discussion, right? Like, Derek's voice is super distinguishable, but it feels so flatline after a while. Like, one tone, no range.
Stage champs, there's a whole thing you can get into.
Right. With stage champs. You know, they play coherent pop punk. They have their own bangers. Like, it felt like the crowd enjoyed this set.
Yeah, definitely. The fucking thing, though, you know, when I was watching this live stream in the chat, this thing started where everyone was like, when is Motionless coming on the live stream? And when it, you know, and it just was like, when is Motionless and White coming out? And then people kept screaming at them, Motionless and White is not part of this live stream. And it just, it went the whole goddamn time. And it was going particularly crazy during the State Champ set. It was driving me nuts.
Oh my gosh, dude. Like, I had it in full screen.
Part of the live stream. And then the people who kept telling them, I was like, stop feeding the trolls. Because I think it became like a trolling thing at one point where it was just every other comment. And the chat was, when is Motionless coming?
It was just like a copy pasta thing.
Yeah. My God, it was driving me nuts.
That's funny. I had it in full screen, so I never saw the chat like the whole time.
I had it in full screen too, but I had to peep it every now and then just to see what was on. I saw that Motionless and White fire, and I was like, I'm out. You know what I mean? I was like, I'm out of this chat.
Dude, that's so funny.
Who was the girl they brought out for Criminal with her mic turned way down? Do you know who that was?
I don't know. I have no idea who it was.
Notescene@gmail.com if you know who that was, listeners, please. Because I had no idea. Derek was red like a fucking tomato.
Dude, holy I know, shit. Man. I don't think he was sunburnt, but I think it was like more, he was flushed, you know?
Yeah,
like,
it's
for whatever.
Really hot,
I'm sure dehydrated. It's hot as crazy. Yeah, dude, like, get that guy some water. That's what I was saying the whole set.
So they, I think State Champs won the girl crowd surfing competition for the day, like, of that metric.
So?
I think they beat out all the other bands. I think there were just so many girl crowd surfers everywhere.
The Matt Crane pop punk metric of success.
That's the girl crowd surfers, because dude crowd surfers suck. You know what I mean? You know, if you're 6 foot and 200 pounds, you should not fucking crowd surf. You know what I'm
Agreed.
Saying?
Like, Agreed.
Holy shit. But yeah, tons of girl crowd surfers, which is, you know, a good sign. And like you said, people seem to enjoy this set. Of course, they close with Secrets, which sums up the fucking mystery of this band. You know, why is that song so popular? Why is that song so good? If you could explain to me and Tyler why Secrets is a good song, email notescene@gmail.com. Write an explanation. We'll read it on the show. Seriously.
Hit us up, because this is one band Matt and I have not gotten for a long time.
It's just the definition of mediocre, right?
Yeah. I mean, close with Elevated, man. Like, that is in the top three best new wave pop punk songs that we got from, like, 2012 to 20 whatever, you know, whenever this era ended, 2017.
It's not a State Champs conversation unless Tyler Sharp brings up Elevated.
Dude, not at all. Listen, you know, we out here, that's their hit.
We out here, 2013, up in the house, right?
Dude, the finer thing. Shouts, man. Shouts.
I'm giving them a loss. I'm giving them an L.
Same, man. I was very bored with this set.
Yeah. And Derek, you need to do something about that redness, man, because I was concerned for your health, bro.
Oh, no.
Okay, so We the Kings. Is this a skip? Like, I feel like this is a skip. Hold up.
All right.
Introing with Celine Dion, My Heart Will Go On. That's dope. Pay tribute to the queen. Shouts to the boys for that one.
I mean, like, you do you. I would have been bored out of my mind.
Dude,
I know, like, everyone knows that song, but, like, why?
Dude, don't you slander Celine.
Dude, I'm not saying anything about the queen. I'm saying the We the Kings disrespecting her. So here's my thing with We the Kings. If you could somehow string theory a way to get there as soon as Check Yes Juliet starts at the end of their set, go see them.
I mean, that's the thing at Warped Tour, is if We the Kings are playing, you gotta go see Check Yes Juliet. And I like, you know, Travis comes on stage and he's like, there's a lot of people here, So we're going to play the song that everyone knows, you know, and everyone instantly knew what he was talking about. And yep. Here I am back on my bullshit, but like,
oh,
you know,
my gosh.
I'm sorry, but you'll never see hits like that again. Yeah. Check Yes, Juliet. That magical moment when you hear a scene band hit top 40 radio and you go, holy shit, what's going on? With Warped Tour going away, you're never going to have that again. It's over.
It's just not going to happen, man. There's no platform for these bands.
Say what you will about We the Kings. When Check Yes Juliet was on top 40 radio, we were popping champagne all summer. You know what I mean? We were like, yo, this is for us.
Dude, that was the song, man. That was the song.
It was for us. Dude, is that Neon Pop Punk's biggest breakout hit?
I think so, dude. Like, that was the moment. That was so, it was either that, you know, them... And Boys Like Girls, you know,
yeah.
Like Boys Like right. Girls had a big moment with that self-titled record right alongside We the Kings. It was a little bit before, but...
Let me say this about Boys Like Girls. So Boys Like Girls outcharted We the Kings with Great Escape. Like there's no... It was mm-hmm. a significant outcharting.
Mm-hmm.
But I just felt like that Neon Summer like really, really went to Juliet. I felt like Juliet took the belt for that summer. I don't know if Great Escape... I don't... You know, there... Maybe it was 50-50.
I do feel like in the canon of the scene and pop punk and neon, I feel like Check Yes Juliet has had more longevity than any Boys True. Like Girls song.
Yeah.
Because like if Boys Like Girls were to play like right back to back to We the Kings, you know, like put up, they're only going to play one song each and you put The Great Escape next to Check Yes Juliet, I think more people are going to go see Check Yes Juliet.
It's just so interesting because Great Escape, you know, charted way yeah. higher and was being played more. It just seemed like the culture really accepted Juliet more as a song. Like it was just, that was what the summer was about, you know?
Totally.
And I hope you're all happy. You're never fucking getting that again.
It's never happening.
We left it behind, and we're never gonna have neon pop punk bands on top 40 radio. It's done.
It's never gonna happen. But yo, real quick, shouts. Their drummer with the NASCAR shirt on. Look at that. My guy is out there, dude. Like these guys don't give a flying fuck, man. Like shouts to that guy. I don't even know his name. I only know Travis.
yeah, that's all I know is Travis. They really go ham when they play that one live, when they play Juliet. I mean, they go fucking nuts, almost to the point of like, all right, guys.
No,
like,
dude.
Chill out, dude.
No, man.
But they really like...
Let it ride.
It's like they're Enter Sandman Metallica-ing it. You know,
absolutely.
They're going all
dude.
The way, like,
absolutely.
When they play that song. They know, you know. They mm-hmm. know.
Travis.
Why don't we just...
Travis takes his hair out of a bun. Dude, oh
yeah.
my God.
Oh, yeah. It's time to get serious. Here comes red hair. Why don't we just combine Boys Like Girls and We the Kings? Make them one band, you know? Like,
Yo.
With alternating singers. That's a good set.
I don't know if anyone remembers this, but back from like 06 to 08, there was like a YouTube thing when all those bands were on tour. It'd be like all-time girls or all-time boys or like all-time kings, and like
yeah.
they do acoustic sets where they do a medley of their songs together, and like it'd be Alex, Travis, and shit, what's the dude's name from Boys Like Girls? I don't even
Martin.
Know Martin. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Dude, that's
Martin
how
Johnson.
Much that band has fallen off. You know, he was the most famous dude back then. Like
dude.
He was way more famous than Alex.
They had a song with Taylor Swift, man.
Dude,
like,
that dude bro was famous.
Absolutely.
And I'm talking like People Magazine covering
mm-hmm.
him famous. And now we can't even
know remember
his
name. Yeah,
that
I know.
Band just, Boys Like Girls fell off. But dude, I never thought I'd see the day I was nostalgic for neon pop punk, but you know,
here we are, man. 10 years
here
later, and it's all over.
That's the story I know to see. Here we are, like you know, here we are. We're always fucking here somehow.
Yep.
So I'm gonna say surprising winner goes to We the Kings.
Really?
I'm giving them a W.
What did you even watch any of the rest of their set besides
yes, I did.
Check Yes Juliet?
Yes, I did, and you know what? None of it matters because everyone's there to hear that song, and that's all they gotta do.
I mean, listen.
If that one goes off right, they get the win, in my book.
Dude, holy shit. Listen, that song will forever mean a lot to me and a whole lot of other people, obviously, as we saw in the crowd during this song. But the rest of this set was just 100% pointless. And, like, they all knew it.
So
they all knew it. I'm at an L, man. Gotta give them an L.
All right. Real Big Fish came up next. This is a hard skip for me. Dude. I'm just giving the L. I gave the L without watching.
I didn't watch either.
Okay, all right. Next band, Tonight Alive.
Okay. Oh, just no.
Did you see all the space in that crowd?
Like, yes, dude.
We thought the Real Friends crowd was bad. Dude, people peaced out here. Like, this, all of a sudden, it looked like the Full Sail stage. Like,
dude, we're back to Main Stage 2017 here.
I know. It was just, everyone was gone. Would you say, were they the worst band to play all day on the live stream?
It's, yeah. I mean, like, they're up there. I think they were worse than Real Friends, for sure.
Yeah. They're a terrible band. They've never mattered. They've never sold records over here. You know, they got their thing going on in Australia.
I mean, like, they almost did 10K on their second full length over here. They mattered for a minute. Yeah, they did, like, 9,000. Like,
but Jenna was, like, a big celebrity for a minute. But, like...
Right. They had a moment.
They have no songs. You know what I mean? Like, there's no Tonight Alive song everyone points to. Like,
right.
They just...
Yeah. Yeah.
They never, and they got their thing in Australia now. They do okay over there, but over here, it's just they keep getting put on main stages. They keep getting big rollouts, and no one cares. With their new aesthetic, you know? Now, same band, we're like a fucking, I don't know what we are, a early 90s girl nu metal band. Like, it just, it's like, no. But I guess, so some girl passed out during their set.
No way.
Yeah, she.
They didn't show it on the.
No, they did. They cut the whole. They had to stop. Eventually, they cut away during the live stream.
Because I only watched bits and pieces of this. Yeah. Of this one.
But for a while, they were just kind of standing around. So I think the girl passed out, and Jenna almost seemed pissy about it. Like,
really?
Seriously, I'm not even saying. Like, this girl passes out, and Jenna's like, "Do you need some paramedics? You know, why?" It was like, why are you fucking up my show, mate? You know what I mean? Like,
she's like,
sorry, Jenna, it's hot. People pass out.
Dude,
like, you know,
right?
She almost seemed to have a little attitude about it. So I was just watching the half pipe, you know? Wow. Wow. I was like, this is fun. You know, watching the
theaters. Dude, pull off the 1080. Pull off the 1080.
Part of those people, they got, like, you know, like, X Games, BMXE people skating.
Yeah,
do they,
I mean,
them to just skate the whole time like that?
I'm sure, because they wouldn't let the average, you know, wouldn't let fans go up there. That's a lawsuit waiting to happen, unfortunately. That'd be fucking, dude, I'd bring my skateboard to Warped Tour, man.
Dude, can you imagine doing a half pipe, coming up the ramp, you know, like, as For Your Strong or just blasting?
That'd
be like a fucking,
I'd be living
like
the best life, man.
Right there, man.
Dude,
be like,
hell yeah.
Oh, man. I just can't believe this band keeps getting put on main stage. I mean, I guess it'll
never
happen
never
again.
Anymore.
But damn, I can't believe they got on main stage as many times as they did.
Yeah,
hard loss. I'm giving them a hard loss.
Absolutely. Like, the crowd is just, wow, man.
Should have been the biggest L of the day, but wasn't. You know? So
we're gonna get to that here in a minute.
Okay, 303.
Right. Oh, they're next. All right.
I mean,
the boys.
I mean, I guess.
What was with that? What was with that backdrop, man? What was with that, dude?
Family Fighter. They opened with My First Kiss,
mm-hmm.
which guilty classic all the way.
Absolutely.
No Kesha though.
No, she wasn't gonna
come out to do this, which, you know, that's a little disappointing. But you got Jess Bowen of the Somerset drumming
back on the kit, man. Back on the kit.
Everybody's got to work, man. You know,
shouts,
like,
dude.
Right?
Shouts.
Even if it's 303, you know, at least she's getting a check.
Right, dude? Totally. And it's close to the beginning of the set, but there's a camera shot that's panning back over the crowd from about a quarter of the way to the stage, and it just keeps going back, and, like, the rows and rows of people keep appearing. Like, there were so many people here just to see their hits, man. Like, this band is 2008. Like, this is 2008 crunk, man. Like, this was reputable crunk shit.
I thought if KP was gonna make an appearance, it was going to be during Starstruck on this set, because it was the live stream, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I thought if it's gonna happen, it would have been this moment. But of course, you know, it didn't happen, because
absolutely
not. Nice things. No Katie.
No, not at all. But Yo, this band is fun. And despite our interactions with this band in 2015, or whenever
that's some classified.
Dude, what a time that was. Yeah. But this was fun, man. Like, it was fun to watch this band. Like, it has obviously been over for a very, very, very long time. But, like, for 2.5 years, 303 was so much fun.
I agree. They were fun then. Just quickly, did you notice that their songs were, like, entirely backtracked?
Oh,
like,
totally.
Like, the whole time. Like, wow. Like, the whole way they were backtracked. I mean... They're terrible live. I mean, they're fucking awful.
Maybe
I know that's not like the most hot take to have about 303 in 2018.
Yeah, dude.
But
whoa,
I was just like,
come
on, guys. And, you know, so Punk Bitch kind of went off, right? Like, everyone reliving their scene MySpace mirror pick days.
Absolutely.
Don't Trust a Ho, Tyler Sharp. One thing, you know, you don't see this band apologizing for that song. Like, Hayley Williams apologizes.
No one has ever asked them to apologize.
No one's, you know, like Hayley Williams, you know, apologizing for the horror.
Oh, man.
Isbiz.
Be careful. Be careful,
I'm just saying, you don't see this band apologizing for Don't Trust a Ho.
Yo,
just,
dude, how many times have we said on the show, we got double standards, man? Like, it's fucked up.
I'm just saying. Nobody's asking them to apologize. Nobody was asking Hayley to apologize. So for me, I know you found the nostalgia here, but for me, it just they sounded bad. It just wasn't cute. It wasn't cute for me. I'm giving them an L.
Man, maybe I'm too deep into the SoundCloud rap world where everything is backtracked. Like, literally, they just play the songs in the background, and then they go up there and say some words over top of it.
It's okay when you have talent, like these SoundCloud rappers do, but these dudes just don't have talent anymore. You know what I mean? Like,
dude, I don't know, man. Some of those dance moves they were doing up there, this was fun for me. Like, I enjoyed this set, not in, like, a musically reputable way, but as in a holy shit, like, this was such a fun time for me.
Man, so you giving them a loss or a win?
I'm going to give them a win, man, just because of the way it made me feel.
Giving Tyler Sharp the feel. All right. Next band, The Main. I thought they looked weird in the all red.
Okay.
And they had this, like, sarcastic attitude the entire time that I did not like.
A little bit.
And they opened with a Blur cover, which, why?
Yeah, no one knew that.
they didn't even play English Girls, which that was, like, their American Candy, like, spear tip of this new era of we're just going to be a Third Eye Blind tribute band. You know what I mean? Like, why aren't you playing English Girls? I don't really get that. That song's kind of problematic now, maybe, given some of the lyrics.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe. I mean, if you want to dive back into The Main's catalog, they have quite a few songs that are pretty problematic.
Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, that was their big hit from American Candy. Strange.
I mean, when they panned to the stage, I'm still not convinced that this wasn't a Target ad.
Oh. They just look so damn dumb in that red. But I gotta say, sound good. They sound tight.
They had a
really big crowd, dude. People fuck with The Main. They had a really big crowd.
So I had a conversation with some friends over the weekend, and because I am not part of the 8123, you know, diehard revival fan base. It's just...
It's a little camp.
Not for me, but it's obviously... It exists, and people are there for it. The last record did 14,000 first week, regardless of, you know, how much double counting there was in that vinyl count. But, I talked with some friends about it this weekend, and, like, these people are diehard, man. Like, if you're a Main fan, you ride for this band.
Dude, and The Main did it right. They
were the neon band that did it right. Yep.
They created this 8123 little world, you know, this label, this ecosystem for them and their fans, and they're never going to be massive, right? They're never going to blow up again, but they're going to survive in this little world they've created. It's sustainability is what The Main are.
Yeah. And it's so crazy to see because, like, I thought this band was over after the second record.
You know, never be over.
After they got dropped from the major, I thought it was over. But now they're, you know, they're like AFI at this point.
Right.
They're going to be able to do 14,000 for, like, the rest of their career.
Yeah, pretty much, bro.
that is, like, props, man. Props.
Yeah, totally. They're going to survive for a long time. They found a way. John's voice... not quite as iconic as Derek for Maydays, but, like, it still matters, his voice. You know, it still kind of takes me back in a way to those days?
They were, the Maine was weird because they got out of Neon so quick. You know, it was one album. It was the EP, but no one really knew about the EP. But Can't Stop, Won't Stop. That was the only reason Maine was ever considered a Neon band. Then they made like a rock album as their major label debut. And then they went complete hipster indie on everyone. And like, if you're an 8123 fan right now and you're part of the fan club, you love that era. And I just never got it, man. I was 100% done with that band.
Yeah. And Bad Behavior, it's a pretty good song. I think that was their closer. It went off. It's a decent song. I'm going to give the Maine a reluctant win here.
Same.
A reluctant win.
Like,
I wasn't, they annoyed me, but the crowd was just all about, the crowd fucked with them.
And the crowd was big. And like, they, in 2018, they're closing with a song that they just released off their newest album.
Right.
You know? Props.
And it,
props.
And it worked for them. Yeah. Yep. They liked it. Like we said, the Maine have found sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're that band that their new record matters to their fans. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not 100%. All about the old shit anymore. Dude, these fans, they're just like, yo, play that American Candy. You know, play that new record.
Play, you know what I mean? Right? And I'm out here in the back, like, where's Can't Stop, Won't Stop?
Right. So the next band that comes out is Water Parks.
Mm.
So it wouldn't be day one of Warped Tour without one band completely face planting. You gotta have your one shit show, right?
The one.
And folks, I give you Water Parks. So I'm just gonna go through this highlight real
Break
quick.
It down.
They couldn't get their equipment set. It was taking forever. Like, they were 15 minutes late, and we were just talking about how smooth the transitions were. Mm-hmm. So that 15 minutes felt like 10 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And they come out, the band comes out, they still can't get their fucking equipment set. And the rest of the band leaves, and Austin is just standing there, the singer, and he's like, fuck it, I'm gonna do an acoustic set. And it sounds like trash. Austin is kind of pissy about it. You know, he's making these kind of sarcastic comments. I'm like, really? Like, I'm like, why are you even playing? Yo, and you can see Kevin Lyman come on stage in the background. And he's like, hell no, fuck this. He pulls them after three songs.
Mm-hmm.
He got them right the fuck off the stage. He's like, what are you doing to my last Warped Tour?
Mm-hmm.
And amateur band playing a pro stage, a pro slot, at a pro time. We know Water Parks should be on a side stage without this kind of pressure.
And, absolutely.
And that, this is what happens. You know, Water Parks, we've talked about how they've always gotten these opportunities that they don't necessarily deserve yet. You know, they're put on these magazine covers. They're put on these main stages. They're treated like the biggest band in the world. And they still don't even know how to pull off a set. You know, these guys need time to grow and learn.
I'm going to give them a little more credit than specifically Austin. I'm going to give him a little bit more credit than you did on how he dealt with the transition and playing the songs. I mean, no one in that position is not going to be pissed off. You know, like, they literally had Mikey Way on this tour with them.
Dude, Mikey Way left.
To play with them.
Can you think of a bigger fuck up? Like, you get Mikey Way to come out with you, and then you blow it, and Mikey Way just walks off stage. Like,
I mean, I would be pissed too, dude.
You made Mikey Way look bad.
Exactly. And like,
my point is, I put some of the blame on Austin for this.
What? Like, they're not the ones setting up their equipment.
I just think they should. As a whole unit, they don't have it together. And even as a band leader, he should be like, look, you know, do we need to be on the main stage this year? You know, I know every band wants
to. Dude, fuck that, man. No band is going to say no to main stage.
They clearly weren't ready. It's just, it wasn't their time.
I mean, I don't know how much of the blame we can put this on the band. I don't know exactly what went wrong as far as their equipment goes, but like, that's tech. That's sound.
If you're the band, you got to make sure your shit's together. I don't care. If you got bad tech people, you got to fix that. You know what I mean?
True.
And these are things young bands figure out in the first couple
right,
of years.
Right, exactly.
And this thing is, we're watching a band figure this out on the fucking
in
live
real time.
Stream,
yep.
The first day of Warped Tour, when they should be on the side stage, is my point.
Yeah, totally. But like, dude, the crowd showed out. They had a bigger crowd
dude, totally.
Than Tonight Alive.
I know, the crowd was like surprisingly there. I was like, yo, like, and this is the thing. They're just blowing it. You know what I mean? Like, you get a crowd show out like that, and you just blow it like that. Like, it's just like this band. Like, they keep getting, for a band who have gotten more opportunities than they deserve, they just keep blowing it.
They keep getting these opportunities that they just don't, they're not ready for, you know? Like, they should have taken more baby steps. I mean,
now I know you can't. You wanted to come to Austin's defense a little, like mm-hmm. performance wise, for the three songs he was up there. I what'd you think? Like for me, it was very quiet and awkward. You know, you got this massive main stage, and he's just up there doing his stupid little. What's that acoustic song that you really fucking hated? That was the second single.
Oh my god, I know. I Lucky for You or something
yeah.
like that.
Oh man, dude, that was a low point of the day when he was doing that. When he was doing that, I was like, oh.
I had to mute it for that song, man.
Yeah, but you know, like it's just again, it's sad to see this. They could have been a really good band, but they've just been. It needed to incubate, and you guys tried to put them in everyone's fucking face. I'm talking to you, Joe Madden. Like, you tried to put them in, Joel Madden, you put them in everyone's fucking face.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know,
they were
kids that
we
weren't
the
ready
record.
For it.
Dude, that's a good record.
We do, man.
It's a good record. What's it called?
Blonde.
No, Entertainment, right?
Oh, shit. Yep, you're totally Blonde's right. The first single was Blonde. Yep, yep.
We love. Tyler and I backed that record. We backed this band.
Dude, 100%.
You just fucked them up. Biggest L of the day. If you want to see a band melting down, this is what it looks like. I recommend you go check this set out just for historical purposes. Mm-hmm. I give it the biggest L of the day. How about you, Tyler?
100%. No band worse than this. At least everyone else was coherent.
Okay, so next band is Simple Plan. And it's funny because, like, Simple Plan get out there... You know, after this shit show, Simple Plan get out there in like 30 seconds and juice everything up. And they're like this classic cliche pop punk band just of that era. And they come out like, what's up, Warped Tour? You know, all psyched, just the most cliche thing you can say. It was just hilarious how Simple Plan can just sort of
Simple
set everything
plan.
Back to the status quo. You know?
Mm-hmm.
What's
mm-hmm.
up? Like that disaster never happened. Ignore that, you know. Forget about water parks falling apart. What's up, Warped Tour? Like,
we are here to bring you the 2000s bangers, man. Like,
right.
That's
they were just all psyched.
That's what they should have walked up there and say. But like, dude, how weird is Simple Plan? Because like when we think of legacy pop punk bands in our scene,
dude,
this band was never
one.
Part of it. This band was never part of our world.
So I found myself, this is an aside, but I found myself, I don't know if you felt this too, I found myself getting less interested as the night went on. Like, in the bands, like, usually the headliners I get more pumped
you
for.
You wait for them, right.
I the earlier part of this lineup, I found more fun. Mm-hmm. And as we were getting into these later bands, I was getting less interested. Were you feeling the same way?
Absolutely. But, like, dude... When I looked at Simple Plan's crowd, I couldn't see the end of it. It wrapped around the tents, man.
Right. Like, so back to your point of, like, this band, it's the weirdest legacy, because this band was pre-scene. I mean,
totally.
Before the scene. Like, I was in grade school. Addicted.
Right.
Took off as a single. We were children. Like, we were little kids, like, when
I
that
was in,
Addicted.
Like, first or second grade.
Yeah, and like, we were, like, flirting with girls, like, with that song. And, like, we were children. And there was no scene yet. And it's like, how are these guys still around?
Right.
But when you look at it, like, they just had hits. Just a Kid, Addicted, Perfect, Welcome to My Life. You know, they just... Man, the first record went double platinum. The second record went platinum. That's enough, I guess. It's just weird because, you know, they blew up when I was in grade school. They blew up before the scene really happened. Way before, you know, way before the Fall Out Boys and the My Chems and all that. And it's a very weird legacy, like you said. But if you got the hits, you know, and you sold the records, people are going to be there.
Like, dude, obviously, people showed out, man. I just don't, I don't know if it's like... Oh, yeah, I think I know one song by Simple Plan. Like, I'm at Warped Tour.
And then they realize they know five, you know?
Right, totally,
you go in
totally.
You know one, you're like, oh, I know half their fucking set. Like,
but, like, when you think of, you know, we kind of associate them with Newfound Glory and, like, Yellow Card and those bands who came up in the early 2000s, but, like, they were completely separate from them. They had no association with them, but they just ended up getting lumped in with them in this weird way.
You know what it was, what the connector was they were blowing up at the same time as Good Charlotte.
Good,
right,
I was literally just about to say it, man. Yep.
Them and Good Charlotte were the pop bands.
Bypass the scene,
got,
man.
That got thrown in with Newfound Glory and Yellow Card.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that post Blink, right? Post Blink, post Sum 41, but pre Scene, pre Fall Out Boy. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That weird middle ground is where Simple Plan was kind of birthed from. Do you remember, though, when they tried to relaunch the band? I want to say around 2008 with that single, Your Love Is a Lie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I like that song.
I was not about it, man. I was like, we're still trying for this band?
Yeah, but it was like they had been gone for like 4 years at that point, I think. And I actually liked that song, but it just didn't go anywhere. The record, I forget the record's name, but the one that Your Love Is a Lie is on, it only did 39,000 copies first week in 2008. And that was down from their second album, which did 130,000 copies
Holy
in 2004.
Shit, man. Holy
shit. So that's a
shit.
You know, that just shows you how this band, they were just cut down.
I've never looked up their numbers before.
Yeah.
That 139, what was second that album? Was that No Pads?
No Pads, because No Pads didn't debut high. That was the single took off.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
And then it started selling records.
Mm-hmm.
It was the second LP that did 130,000 copies first week.
What one was that one called?
Fuck, man. I mean, you want to look up the name?
Okay, I didn't know if you knew right off the top of your head. But
no. You're like, it's not worth it.
Right. No. I think I can see the album cover in my head. I can't remember what it was called.
I can see the album cover, too. It came out in 2004. They went a little emo, right?
Like,
it was their more emo move. They dyed their hair black.
Totally,
you know,
They had the jeans, the t-shirts.
Yeah. And the songs. I forget which one it was, but there was one that was just almost cringy emo. Was it Welcome to My Life?
I think that...
Or was it Perfect? It was one of those was on it that was just... Had to be Perfect.
Yeah, I can't remember. I just know that the first song that I heard was Life is a Nightmare. I think that's what it's called, because it was in Cheaper by the Dozen.
Mm-hmm.
the movie, and there's this scene where like the kids are going to school and that song's playing in the background, and I was just... What is this when I was in like fourth grade?
I liked that. I liked that Simple Plan song Boom that they debuted at the AMAs.
Dude, we were there, man. I hated that song.
I was about that life, man. I got that song somewhere on Spotify.
Dude,
I'm giving Simple Plan a win for somehow just
being here, man.
Just
shouts.
Somehow. Like, how are you still? Whatever. Cool.
Just
I'm giving them a win.
Props, man. Props. Same here.
Okay. Headlining band of the day, The Used. So Bert comes out and pops orange smoke. You got smoke going everywhere. They're popping different colors of smoke. Looks pretty cool. And they go in to Take It Away. Probably the perfect opener song, I'd say.
Just kick it off. Kick off the nostalgia, man.
Dude, that's just the velocity of that song, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you want to get a crowd going, that's the one you open with, isn't
it? That's it.
In their catalog. I mean, it's great. I'll never forget, like, being in eighth or ninth grade or whenever and watching them play that on Kimmel live.
Right.
And just, like, having my mind blown. Like, oh, my God. Like, my music is about to take over the world. You
mm-hmm.
know, like, thinking, like, being so excited. But so, Bert, this is the best part. This is my personal favorite part of their set. Bert gets to the line, I've lost all doubt in A Chemical Romance on that song, which is the infamous, like, this is when they were friends. And this call, he's, you know, they're shouting out their boys in My Chemical Romance. And instead of saying Chemical Romance, he just puts his two middle fingers up and stays silent. And I was like, yo!
It is still alive, man.
Like,
it is still alive.
Yo, I was like, why don't you just bust into Pretty Handsome Awkward right after
that? You know? Yup.
We'll stop.
Oh,
let's
dude.
Go all the way, you know, if he's going to do that. But I that was my personal, like, little favorite part
I
of
loved,
this set.
And during that, literally, first song, there are multiple circles. Like, there's a circle pit completely off the side of the stage. There's a circle pit, like, off center of the stage, like, stage right, kind of, like, mid-pack. There's one right up next to the barricade, far stage left. Like, dude, this crowd is fucking massive, and they're feeling it, man. They are here for the hits, and Bert was bringing it. I will say, like, I don't even know who's in this band besides Bert anymore, but, like, those dudes look like they're in Lamb of God, man.
Oh, yeah. So
or
you got
like
the drummer,
Megadeth or something.
You got the drummer and one of the guitarists. And I don't know who is the dude doing bass for them. That's just some guy they found on the homeless guy they found on the street, you know, and cleaned him up. But yeah, I thought all the different colors of smoke like looked really cool. Massive, massive crowd for The Used, you know?
Yeah.
It was massive. This is the biggest crowd I've seen The Used play in like 10 years. was huge.
People were there for it, dude. With the sun setting and like just hearing those hits, you know, just what, and the crowd being massive, it felt right.
What did you think of the band's performance?
I mean,
like just energy level.
I mean, as far as energy goes,
yeah.
I mean, I felt like Bert was bringing it, man. Like he was there for it.
Bert always brings it. Dude's a performer. What about the rest of the band, though?
I don't really care about the rest of the band. Okay. You know, like
Valid point.
When I go to see The Used, I am here for Bert and the hits, man. Yeah. Whoever's playing it doesn't really matter to me. That's where I'm at with The Used right now. What Bert, about you? What did you think?
I'm kind of in the same boat as you. I was just Bert brought it, and that was all that mattered to me.
Dude, when they brought the kid out on stage, do you know who's that was at all?
Gotta be Bert's.
Was it Bert's son?
Bert's kid. Yeah,
okay,
it's gotta be. No Justin Schakowsky sighting.
Well, absolutely not.
dude, homie, I was waiting for a body to drop on a rope from the rafters of the main stage,
dude.
Like I was just waiting for that to happen in the middle of the set.
Whoa, you know? Man.
I mean, I'm just kidding, Justin. Get the help you need, man.
Like, yeah. You know. I was maybe hoping for more of like a Ronnie Radke Escape the Fate moment where he's in the front row screaming back at the band.
Dude, it's just not a good look. The old guy from Seosin, you know?
Yeah, out there like flipping off the Used. Fuck you guys, God, in the front row.
Everyone's like, who are you, dude? Like, we don't, you know?
Right? Yeah.
So, I mean, Bird and the Worm, All That I've Got, Taste of Ink. What more can you ask for, you know?
All the hits, man. Those are all the hits.
Here's my thing, though. And this isn't an indictment on The Used in any way. For me personally, this set, it really felt like a come down from the fun of the earlier experience we were talking about, you know, when we were joking and all the fun we were having, all these bands like Knuckle Puck and 4 Years Strong. This set felt like a come down to me. And
come down in what way?
Like, this has always kind of been a thing that me and my friends have talked about with Warped Tour. Mm-hmm. The closing bands and their set have never been the best part of Warped Tour.
Absolutely,
you know what I mean?
Not.
It was always the early to midday when the tour still felt fresh and you're still in the fucking middle of it. And like everything's still new and you're smelling all this stuff, sunscreen and food, and like the end of the night, like it was just, you know, Warped Tour sort of, as the sun starts to set, you know, Warped Tour slows down at this point. It like slips into twilight, you know, it gets dark. You start getting tired, and
that's the biggest thing.
Yeah. And you realize, you know, how your voice is actually really hoarse because you've been screaming all day, and you realize
you haven't eaten all day.
Yeah. And you realize just how dehydrated you actually are. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of just where this took me back to, is those moments at Warped Tour when it's like, it's the come down, you know, it's like, oh, this day of fun that I never thought was going to end is actually ending. And, you know, the sun's setting. I loved during the Used set how the crowd screams, fuck me, right back at the band during All That I've Got. And and they also scream, it's 4 o'clock in the
dude,
fucking morning.
What an right iconic now. Line, man. What an icon. I don't think I've ever seen Bert actually sing that line. It's always the crowd. But I totally know what you're saying. I've been there, those days where, like, the day you never wanted to end, but you're just so fucking tired, like, you just kind of want to go home or, like, go get food somewhere, you know? But, like, if this is the band, you know, there were a couple years where, like in 2013, Bring Me the Horizon, obviously, played around this time as the sun was setting and their crowd was, like, it felt like I was 2 miles from the stage. Like, that's how far back their crowd reached. But, like, that was the band I was waiting to see all day long, you know? Like, that was – and I think when you have that, you kind of put that in the back of your head, like, build up that stamina to stay around for that final band, you know? Like, you still have something to look forward to all day. Everything's so good. Like, you're seeing these awesome bands, and you still have that one band to look forward to. After that set, that's when it's like, shit, now I have to go back to real life.
And even when I had those moments where I was, like As I Dying played 1 year, and they closed, and that was what I was looking forward to all day. But my best, I think that was Warped 08. My best memories were the midday shit.
Throughout the day.
Like, you know, my best memories were in the morning, seeing Norma Jean tear it up and scare the shit out of everyone, and then Gym Class Heroes come out. Like, my best memories of Warped are always in the daytime. And I was talking about that with some friends, and it's just weird how there's something about the closing sets that just that aren't always the most memorable. And it's more because it's more about the culture, right? You know,
it's the experience, dude. It's the full day. It's right when you get through through those gates. The sun's as high in the sky as it's going to be all day long. And like,
and you gotta go find the big dumb blow up thing that tells you where all the bands are playing. The
take
little
a picture of it, right? Yeah, dude. Like the
there's
whole
nothing
experience.
Else like it. There's nothing else like it. We're never going to get it again. Back to the use. Too much color and tie dye. Like, in my opinion,
the look was off.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they should have went full classic black, right? Black out the stage, dye your hair black, Bert. Like, if you're going to be playing all the... They played all classic songs. There was no new bullshit. They're doing the full classic set. If you're going to do that, why not bring back the classic look? I thought that would have made it a much more effective performance theatrically.
Absolutely, yeah. The look was off. But, like, honestly, dude, we're in 2018. This shit's going to be over. They could look however the way they want, man. Like, keep playing those hits, Bert. Like, shouts to you for bringing it, not, like, playing five songs off the new Used album, you know? So, because, I mean, there are multiple bands who would have taken this opportunity to play to this big of a crowd.
I was legitimately scared that they were going to perform The Canyon, you know, for most of their set, and that would have been terrible. But you knew Kevin wasn't going to let them do that if you're getting the headlining slot.
Absolutely. So you got to make that call.
I'm giving the Used a soft win here. I just, you know, I'm giving them a win. It was good.
It's just classic, man. Yeah. Like, if you know, we couldn't get the bands we wanted to come send Warped Tour off right, but this felt like a W moment for Warped Tour.
Yeah, it was a win. It was good. Could have been a lot better. There are a lot of other bands, you know, I would have rather seen, but, you know, they used for working with what they have. I got to give them a win.
Totally. Same here.
No Black Veil Brides on the live cast, even though they were playing the same stage, which I found that interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Were they not there or something? I think they were. I know they were there.
I
saw them play on YouTube videos, but they just didn't want to be part of the live cast.
No go on the live stream, man. I have no comments on the current state of that camp right now. If you were anywhere near the scene over the last week, you know what happened. And yeah, we'll see what happens with Black Veil Brides in the future.
So check this out. This was the Pomona date, you know, the per usual first Warp date. Tomorrow's date, Ventura, the second date. The main stage has all of this, but also has Taking Back Sunday and All Time Low. That's a fucking jump.
Dude, what a shame they didn't get that for the live stream, man.
Right?
Could you imagine seeing Maria on Warped Tour? Seeing
Dear Maria and Liar.
Cut Without the E, man.
Yeah, Cute Without the E. Dude, it would have... So that's a pretty big jump. You're lucky if you're at the Ventura date, you know? The totally. Pomona kids definitely missed out on two of the biggest scene bands ever.
Totally. Absolutely. I enjoyed this, man. Like, definitely. It's sad as... Just sad as fuck. Like, I know you're angry. I'm sad. But, like...
Yeah. No, at I'm least... sad. Man, look, man, beneath all the anger... It's all sadness, bro. Like it's a shell of anger, and there's liquid sadness.
Just liquid sadness inside.
Just waiting to spill out.
Just don't bite into it, man.
Yeah, just fucking let me be angry. But you know, let me have my armor up.
I totally know what you're saying. You know, if Warped Tour was gonna go, we'd want it to not matter, just because it'd make it that much easier to say goodbye. But it feels good, man. Like I haven't been excited to go to Warped Tour in a long time. I'm so excited to go to Warped Tour this summer.
Definitely. So Billboard ran this oral history of Warped Tour 2005, which was just fucking phenomenal.
The pinnacle piece, man.
I think you if you're a Warped Tour fan, go to Billboard and read this piece about... Just Google Warped Tour 2005 Billboard. It's fucking great, man. Because Warped Tour 2005, for those of you who don't know, was like the biggest Warped Tour year. It was the pinnacle. The piece points out that 700,000 kids came out to the show that summer, and that's the biggest Warped Tour ever. And a lot of them were around 500,000. And to give you context, the piece points out that last year 300,000 kids came out. So
Warped Tour
goes
has
to
been
show
more
you.
Than cut in half since its peak.
And you had, you know, My Chem and Fall Out Boy blowing up on that tour. Mm-hmm. But that was the fucking magic of Warped Tour back then. 700,000 kids came because My Chemical Romance and Fall Out Boy, you know, had Sugar Were Going Down and Helena on MTV and radio. But, you know, when they came, they discovered Seosin. They discovered The Starting Line. They discovered Motion City. They discovered Under Oath. You know, that was the beauty, like those giant bands.
That was the Point of Warp Tour. Yep.
My Chem and Fall Out Boy drew everyone in. And they were like, oh, who the fuck is Senses Fail? I'm down with this. What's this record? Let It Unfold You? Oh, what, we're going to, you know what? We're going to make that a classic. You know?
That was just how it was. Okay, this is going to be a classic.
Yeah. Like, that was what was so fucking phenomenal about the scene back then. Warped Tour 2005. I just want to go through some quotes real quick from this article.
Yeah, let's do it.
You're all right with that, Tyler? Because, okay, so.
Let's roll. There's some great lines.
Here's my personal favorite. This is Kate Truscott, who
merch
manager, but she's basically she's the major domo of Warped Tour. Like, you could call her the vice president, essentially, of Warped Tour at this point. She's like Kevin's number two. But she says, quote, one part of the summer, My Chemical Romance guitarist Frank Iero thought he was having some sort of brain bleed. He was blowing his nose and this red stuff was coming out. A doctor looked at it and was like, dude, that's just makeup. Oh my god.
If a quote ever encapsulates a time period, that's right? It, man. That's fucking it.
You're putting on too much makeup, bro.
That is awesome. The other one I want to say, so did you go to Warped Tour 2005 in Detroit?
Yes.
So you were there. Did you see My Chemical Romance that day?
From very far away.
Okay. So the quote in the article that Kate gives is that My Chemical Romance holds the record for most money made on merch in one Warped Tour day. Right. They made $60,000 at in one day at Warped Tour.
Listen, nobody I knew even tried to go to their merch and buy it. It was so just packed. It wasn't even worth it. Their fans were like a different kind. They weren't like part of the scene. They were just NPR fans, you know? We're not going over there. And I like too when Kate is talking about that. She talks about how, you know, on her days off, she'd go to the bank. And her tour manager would be like, what's in your backpack? You know, you can't walk to the bank with $250,000 in cash on you, you crazy woman.
Right, totally. Or when they talk about the guarantees for what people were booking bands for, Foggy Molly was the biggest band on that tour as far as like paid guarantees go.
Dropkick, I think.
Was it Dropkick? Yeah. Am I getting my Celtic Punk bands mixed up?
Yeah, Tyler, you're getting your Celtic Punk mix up. But so, Buddy from Senses Fail had this really great quote. He said, you know, just talking about Warped Tour 05 and how it was sort of the moment, he called it the moon landing of emo music, basically, which makes sense. He says, Senses Fail, this is Buddy, Senses Fail did Warped Tour the year before. My Chem wasn't My Chem yet. Senses Fail wasn't Senses Fail yet. On Warped Tour 2005, everybody was everybody. Fall Out Boy was Fall Out Boy. My Chem was My Chem. You know, Senses Fail was Senses Fail. And then that was it, you know? 05 was the year it all sort of arrived.
It was, dude. What a time, man. It does. It just bums me the fuck out when I start thinking about how, like, it's never going to be as good as it once was.
Right. Tyson from the All-American Rejects.
Dude, he gave a lot of quotes, man.
Yeah, he was all about this. He says, 2005 Warped Tour was everything people think about when they want to make Warped Tour something of folklore. It was the real thing. I love that quote because it's true.
It doesn't even seem real at this point.
Right. Did it happen? You know?
did this really happen? Yep.
I love the Dropkick Murphys vocalist comes in like such an asshole. Like, he's like, Fallout, what's he call them? Like, Fuck Out Boy and My Chemical
Fallout
Shithead.
Fallout Turd,
like,
and My Chemical Shit.
Was,
yeah.
Part of that old class of punk bands that didn't get this new emo wave coming in, you know? A lot of these bands, these older punk bands, were not about these emo bands. You know, we saw, like, you know, NOFX attacking Under Oath and just giving everyone a hard time generally. And so he kind of rags on these bands, but I like, he's like, but you know what?
He comes back.
That's when he's like, I realized that was just me being like my dad. I didn't get this music. And when I actually looked at it, those kids worked their asses off and they earned everything. They earned everything they got. They worked hard for it. And I thought that was cool.
Absolutely.
But he also throws a little shade here, which is kind of funny. He says, quote, I remember walking around thinking, who is this heavy, ferocious punk band playing? And I'm like, oh, my God, it's The Offspring. Now, The Offspring are not a great band, but they're not a ferocious punk band. but on the backdrop of all of these pop punk and emo bands, dot dot dot. He's like, no, dude, Offspring sounding like Slayer out here, you know?
Giving context, like the Offspring, yeah. Like he fuck with that, man.
Absolutely.
So funny. What a time, man. What a special, special time, dude.
I love Kevin Lyman here. He says, quote, "Then you had Avenged Sevenfold. You knew they were going to be big because they were the first band to ever show up to Warped Tour with a smoke machine." Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Like, the best fucking prognostication of what that band was going to become.
Absolutely, dude.
You also have Buddy from Senses Fail again echoing this. He says, quote, "You look up in the sky and see a cloud of smoke and be like, Avenged Sevenfold must be on. Broad daylight, and it looks like the main stage is on fire."
Yo. Oh my God, what a time.
I was out of my chair. I read that. Oh.
Did you ever get to see Avenged at Warped Tour? Or was that too early?
No, I think I missed them for another band.
Oh, okay.
But they were still doing the Wake and the Fallen shit. And I feel like I have seen them because I watched it on YouTube so much. Like,
okay.
In the early days of YouTube, I was like, Avenged Sevenfold, you know, Warped 04, oh my God. Spencer from Under Oath, I want to talk to you about this quote, Tyler. He says, "A band, who we won't name, needed money. We let them borrow money, and they all came back with new clothes and tattoos."
I know. I read that quote.
What's going on with
that? I was very suspect.
Any idea of this band we're talking about here?
I mean, there's a lot of bands I was thinking about. I don't know anything definitive, and I don't want to throw any names out there.
What's the best guess? I was like, because like Aaron go on to talk. Like, yeah, you know, they knew we were the Christian band, so we'd be giving. And Spencer's like, we gave them a lot of money, you know, and then they just come back with clothes and tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
Are they talking about Avenged? Avenged had a lot of label support at this point.
They had a lot of money.
Right?
Yeah. I'm thinking it was like an up-and-coming, you know, screamo post-hardcore band that didn't really ever make it, you know?
Like something along the lines of a From First to Last kind of band?
I don't think not even like that big. I was thinking like Four Letter Lie level.
Oh,
I don't think it was Four Letter Lie.
Dude, let's not even do... Four Letter Lie. Let's not even.
I mean, dude, like we got Mod Sun and Kevin Scaff out of that, like Day to Remember, dude, and we got an Adam Jumper BFF out of Four Letter Lie.
Four Letter Lie. That was gonna be Bless the Fall's original name.
For real?
Until they discovered a band already existed. Four Letter Lie.
I never knew that.
Yeah. They were so stoked too, Bless the Fall. They were like, "We have found the coolest fucking band name." And then they were like, "What? Who are these assholes?" You know? And that was a Four Letter Lie, man. Just the most off the radar band ever. Like, they were just always so to the right or left of what was going on, you know?
They were trying, man. They were trying.
That name was just so good. It just
absolutely
kept them.
Yeah,
probably the most emo name ever, right? Like,
they were yeah, man, Victory was trying with them. It was interesting time, but I don't think it was Four Letter Lie. I think it was a band that level.
All right, you know, we blew a lot of our time talking about Warped Tour, Tyler, but before we go, I mean, we gotta talk about the Panic.
We gotta address it, man.
Really quickly, Pray for the Wicked, Panic 6th album came out. Tyler, just really quickly, what are your thoughts on the record and what's your score?
Dude, I'm about it, man. There's a spunk here that I did not feel was coming based on at least Say Amen. As we've said on the show multiple times before, Say Amen felt like a Death of a Bachelor B-side. Obviously, I guess we were wrong. It's number one right now on alternative radio. But dude, the rest of this album feels like a step forward from Death of a Bachelor. He reaches full back in the Frank Sinatra era, whereas on Death of a Bachelor, he only kind of dabbled in it, as in like the title track. But like, we've got Roaring Twenties, which has this kind of like speakeasy synth line in it. I don't even know how else to describe that. I mean, we've got Hey Look Ma, I Made It, Old Fashioned, you know, After the Drink. Like, Brendan's delivery on this album feels new, and I was scared that this record wasn't going to do it. Numbers wise, we already have some numbers, and I don't know off the top of my head, but I do know that they're lower than what Death of a Bachelor was going to be. So I am honestly, dude, I'm at an 8 out of 10 on this record, and I did not think this was going to be an 8 out of 10 for me. But where are you at on it?
I am extremely disappointed with this record.
Really?
Yeah, it feels, to me, it feels stagnant. It feels like Brendan is taking zero risks. It's another retread of Brendan Sinatra. You bring up Roaring Twenties. Ah, oh, such a contrived concept for this thing that Brendan's doing, dude. To me, the lead singles, Say Amen and High Hopes, are the best songs off this record. Like, High Hopes by far, to me. Mm-hmm. Hey Look Ma is an annoying song. Dancing is Not a Crime totally misses. It's just a lot of very uninspired brass pop, and the glamour just fades. It's like the Neon Vegas sign here is just glitching out and sparking for me. Like, this band, like, one of the drunks feels so subpar. Like, Brendan is off his game to me. This feels more Bruno, less Brendan. Like, ooh, a lot of it just feels like brassy glitz filler. I'm thinking of, like, songs like King of the Clouds, Old Fashioned, Overpass. Dying in L.A., a somber, very effective ballad. I thought that was decent. I loved it. And I was listening to it, like, as I was reading this Johnny Depp Rolling Stone profile about how just Johnny Depp is falling apart.
Oh, I know, what a right? Piece, I was like, man, what a song, piece.
This song kinda, yeah, like, this song kind of matches up with what's going on with
Johnny.
Johnny
Depp.
Yep. Yeah, so I did like Dying in L.A., and like I said, I like the singles. I'm at a 6 out of 10 on this record, though. I'm very disappointed.
Wow. I was pleasantly surprised. I've listened to it 3 times front to back. I feel like Brendan pushes it enough here, you know, while staying in a lane that Panic of the Disco fans are going to appreciate. But, like, that sales drop is a little, I was hoping for over 200,000 first week.
Yeah.
And it's looking like total, he's shooting at about 175. Death of a Bachelor with streaming did 192, I think.
Yeah, Death of a Bachelor did around 190. And it looks like they're going to do 150, probably. I think SPS, it's 150 to 175K was the projection.
Okay, I was on the top end. Okay.
Yeah. So, and to be honest, like, I before I read that, I was, like you said, I was hoping for over 200K. But when I started to think about, like, they have a number one single, but the hype just hasn't, like, felt like it's there in the same way.
Exactly.
And I was thinking 130 to 150. That was going to be my guess, honestly.
You were in it, man.
Yeah, I was thinking 130 to 150. And I don't know. We'll see. I mean, 175 is not a disaster, right?
No, it's absolutely just not.
It's a shame that the band, you know, aren't going to continue to grow.
Right.
The way they used to.
But I still feel like this puts Panic in a better place than Fall Out Boy as it stands right now.
Yes, definitely. I mean, number one old single. You know, Fall Out Boy can't even fucking stay on the charts for a week, right? But so Death of a Bachelor did 190K, and that was up from 80K for Too Weird,
right?
I mean, that was a huge increase.
No one saw it coming, dude.
They're coming down a little here, which is disappointing because they have the number one alt radio single. But real quick, just got to do the ranking. For me, it's Fever at number one, Too Weird, then Vices, then Bachelor, then Wicked, and Pretty Odd still remains my least favorite Panic record.
I got to do this. Got to do this off the top of my head, man. All right, so I am at Fever, obviously, then Too Weird, then Death of a Bachelor, what was the Ballad of Mona Lisa album? Vices and Virtues. Then this record, then Pretty Odd.
So you like this record more than me, but weirdly, our list is almost the same. The only difference is you prefer Bachelor over Vices, and I flip-flop that. So it's funny, this record, while you give it an 8, it is your second to last favorite Panic album, which
the only Panic
speaks
album,
highly of Panic.
The only Panic album that I don't listen to all the way front to back is Pretty Odd. That's the only one, you know? Like, and I actually do enjoy a majority of Pretty Odd, but there are definitely some tracks that I skip. Like, the second half of Vices and Virtues is one of the most underrated things I've ever seen in my entire life, dude.
Yo,
oh,
I
my
love that
God.
Record, dude. I
it's
love that.
It's so good. So good.
The record that brought us back Panic! The Disco. I mean,
yeah, Ballad of Mona Lisa, man.
I'm ready to go. Come on. You know?
Totally.
Okay, we've gone long, Tyler. So
way long.
We gotta hit the road. You know, it was Warped Tour, though, right? You know,
we gotta do it, man. This is the last chance.
Before we go, I want to give quick shouts to 5 Seconds of Summer for beating Beyonce and Jay-Z for the number one album in America this week. Young Blood in the house.
Out here, man. Shouts. Mad props. Mad props. There's a lot of situational context that goes along with that, but, like, that 5 Sauce comeback, a success, man. Success. Hard success.
All right. That is it for the show this week, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. If you have any questions, feel free to send them in to notescene@gmail.com. Until then, we will see you.